Ramadan AM.
Twelve after seven. Welcome to it. It's Ramadan AM on the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo. Now, a new report published by the University of Cape Town Research Unit has found that most smokers have been able to buy cigarettes during the lockdown. Now, it established that not only did the illegally bought of cigarettes that came at a hefty price tag, but they were also unfamiliar brands. Now, 90% of smokers had stocked up before the ban on cigarette sales came into effect, but not enough to ensure that they could survive any extensions due to the lockdown period. Well, let's chat to the co-author of the study, Kirsten van der Zee. She joins us on the line. Kirsten, thank you so much for your time on Voice of the Cape.
Great, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's only our pleasure. I mean, we've been hearing about crazy stories, you know, where people are talking about the cost of cigarettes, anything from 150 Rand to 200 Rand a packet. How are smokers still being able to access cigarettes through the lockdown and you know, at the cost that it's being sold at?
Yeah, our findings have been very, very interesting and quite shocking to us, to be honest. So how have they been able to buy them? So we see that a lot of smokers have been resorting to buy from the streets, primarily, where they were previously buying from retail outlets. They're now buying from spaza shops, from house shops, street vendors who are walking the streets. A lot of people also mentioned things like smugglers or black market salespeople in their actual text comments to us. So that was very interesting. And like you said, the price has increased significantly over this period. So on average, we saw that over our survey period, which happened over 13 days after the 29th of April, basically on average every day the price increased by about 4.4%.
Wow.
So on average, smokers are paying 90% more now than they were before the lockdown for their cigarettes.
Mm.
So the prices are incredible. I think we've been seeing cartons of cigarettes up to about 1,800 Rand, packs up to 300 Rand. We really aren't surprised by our findings.
Yeah, especially when you look at the price and the branding, you know, that goes with that. But we'll get to that in a minute. What is very concerning is that, I mean, and I've done my research as well, you know, we have gone to, you know, your local stores, for argument's sake, your well-known stores. You go to your garages that also, you know, sells cigarettes usually, and you would find that they are all sold out, right? So where does the cigarettes come from? I know you spoke about, you know, the black market, but surely the suppliers and everything, there has to be some sort of trail.
Absolutely. So we aren't able to answer exactly where the cigarettes are coming from. We can only speculate. But interestingly, and as you were mentioning before, the brands that people are buying are quite unusual, quite different to the market before the lockdown. So in the pre-lockdown period, generally British American tobacco brands, your Peter Stuyvesant, your Dunhills, they were dominating on the market.
Mm.
And while those are still present in the current market, we're finding the market is a lot more fragmented in terms of the brands that people are reporting buying. So big producers that are also present in our data are people like Old Leaf Tobacco, Connellink's Best Tobacco Company, where these producers generally held quite a small share of the market before. It's kind of evening out now, and you can see people are buying whatever they can find at whatever price they can find. We can only speculate at how these supply systems are operating, but we can see that the market is definitely changed in terms of brand.
Yeah, and I want to also, you know, this discussion, there's so many questions coming into my mind right now, and I'm hoping that I can get, you know, through most of them for the time that we've got available. But I want to, you know, when you look at the ban on cigarettes in, you know, in its totality at the offset, you know, do you think that the ban though on the cigarettes is proving to be ineffective then?
So you could probably think about whether it's effective in two ways. You could ask, are people actually quitting smoking or reducing the number of cigarettes that they smoke? That's one probably outcome that was intended with a ban. And in terms of that, we have actually seen some people have managed to quit successfully. So of the smokers that we interviewed, about 40% of them indicated that they did attempt to quit during the lockdown period. And of that 40%, now 40% of those actually successfully quit. So that turns out to about 16% of our sample that have successfully quit as a result. So that is a positive outcome of the lockdown. But what we would hope, and according to the lockdown regulation, is that they would no longer be selling of cigarettes during this time. And that clearly isn't the case. Of our sample, 90% are still buying cigarettes. They're just resorting to buying from very different places, very different products, and at huge prices. So in that sense, the lockdown, the ban on cigarettes hasn't been successful. People are still buying. They're still supplementing their stocks. And that's the opposite of the intention.
So it's basically been proven to be ineffective because people are still finding ways around it, you know. So surely the impact that this will have, you know, on the illicit market have once, what impact will it have once the lockdown is over?
Well, I think that is the big question, and that's one of the things that prompted the study is to ask, where does this leave us after the lockdown? Because, I mean, before the lockdown, South Africa already had something of an illicit trade problem. We already had estimated in our research at UCT that we had probably close to 30% of our cigarette market was illicit at that time. Mm. And government was definitely making headway in getting past that and bringing in the illicit trade. So that was a great sign for us. But unfortunately, during a time like this, when the illicit market is kind of being ingrained and these distribution lines are becoming more sophisticated, we wonder how hard it's going to be for SARS and for enforcers to kind of rein it in again once the lockdown is over. So we can only estimate that again once we've moved out of this lockdown phase that we're in. But it is a worry. How do we bring it back? How do we bring it back?
I mean, we've been speaking to people like Yusuf Abramji, who make calls for the government to relax the ban when it comes to smoking. I know you've touched on something like SARS. Surely there is also going to be, you know, a lot is going to be lost through exercise, you know, tax revenue.
Absolutely. So currently, annually, the government is bringing in about 12 to 14 billion rand in excise taxes on cigarettes. So that's over a billion rand a month that they should be earning in excise taxes in South Africa. So although that isn't a huge proportion of our revenue that's collected, it is still significant. It is still relatively small. But that's money that we should be getting and could be getting in this time. And instead, all of that money is going to illicit traders. So the government has lost us in excise taxes over this period.
Yeah, a lot of people are also saying that, you know, that if it was a gradual process of them wanting to quit, and especially the elderly who were sort of dependent on cigarettes, you know, that they didn't appreciate the government's approach for them just to go, you know, cold turkey as well. And, you know, if you look at the mental well-being of especially those that have been smoking for years.
For sure. So we actually gave our respondents an opportunity to give us further comments in our survey. We asked them quite clear-cut questions, but in the end we said, just what are your general comments to us? And we did some text analysis on those comments. And the general sentiment was really one of anger and frustration at the government. And quite a few people mentioned that they were having mental health issues related to this fast ban on cigarettes sales. A lot of people mentioned that they were feeling more depressed, that they were unable to focus, and that it was unfair that the government had banned cigarettes without giving any support in terms of quitting. So, yeah, smokers are feeling very frustrated at the situation that they're in, and we can see that from our results.
Yeah. Now, are you also surprised now that a government went this route, considering that so many countries have had, you know, sort of lockdowns, but actually allowed smoking?
So I think that in the initial lockdown phase, it was probably better understood, and more smokers were probably more in support of it. But as time has gone by and as the extensions have happened, I mean, people stocked up before lockdown in preparation for a 3-week initial lockdown. And they had stocked, it looks like from our data, they had actually stocked up enough to continue with their normal smoking. Those who tried to quit in that period. But after all these extensions started and moving into the phased removal of lockdown, I think smokers are becoming more and more frustrated. So as time goes by, I think it's becoming harder, and it's becoming less and less effective.
And just before I let you go, Kirsten, I don't know if you are familiar with the rumor that is doing the round on social media. They're saying that the one brand that all of a sudden just popped out of nowhere, and we spoke about, you know, these unusual brands, is the one brand called Richmond, and somebody actually posted it up on Facebook, and it spread like wildfire. And some are saying that it is becoming a political game now with the cigarettes, because apparently former President Jacob Zuma's son is one of the co-owners of the company that produces Richmond. I don't know if you heard about that.
So the Richmond cigarettes, yes, we've seen it quite a lot in our data. It is a very unusual brand. We haven't seen it before. I must say that I can't comment on ownership of the brand, It's now lost on me who is the owner of Richmond, the producer of Richmond, sorry. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of speculation going around in terms of politics of why the ban is happening and who's benefiting from it. Unfortunately, we can't really say, and that is speculation as much to us as it is to you. But I think as these things play out, it's going to be quite interesting to see when the ban is lifted and to see it play out, how enforcers kind of get control of this illicit market again. And as that starts to happen, maybe these things will become more clear for all of us.
Right, and we're going to have to leave it to Kirsten van der Zeel, the research officer at Research Unit on the economics of excisable products, talking to us about the fact that there was a ban, but some people are still getting the cigarettes, and at the price, my goodness.